All right. Welcome to Loser Leaves Podcast. My name is Red Jefferson. I'm here with Mullet Jazzwall.
Hey, everybody. I'm over here.
This is our first inaugural episode of Loser Leaves Podcast. You know, it's a work in progress. How you feel about it, Mullet?
I think we're making it happen. I don't know. It stumbled a little bit starting out, but I think we're doing it. It's good. I'm excited.
Well, we're here talking about this, a wrestling podcast. We're talking about AEW mostly because we don't like talking about the other one, right, Mullet?
Yeah. We try to stay away from it, I suppose. I don't know. It's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
They're fine.
Prejudiced. Yeah.
No, but they're fine. Everyone talks about that one, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
There's a million things to talk about, but we're doing it. We're doing great. We're talking about Fighter Fest. That's the thing that happened today.
Yeah, day one Fighter Fest.
Yeah, how'd you feel about it overall?
Overall, I think it was good. I think it was a solid show. If anything, it gets me excited for next week, you know? I think there's a lot of good angles that got me, you know, that got me excited. Yeah, Jericho and Orange Cassidy and all that, so.
Sure. Mm-hmm. It felt like just a regular episode to me. It didn't feel like it was good. It was a good show, but I felt like it was like a regular episode of Dynamite at times. Mm-hmm. But let's dive into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Started off, I love the fireworks. It started off because I love the fact that they're in that outdoor stadium. They got a lot more going for them where they could do that type of stuff. They can't do that at NXT.
No, they don't do fireworks in WWE rarely anymore. I'm not sure if they do it anymore at all. I want to say they started because AEW was doing it, but I don't know.
You're right. They stopped for a long period of time to cut on budget. And then when AEW started doing it again, they brought back Pyro. Mm-hmm. They're jealous. They're just haters.
Yeah.
First thing, they had three men in the booth and then they brought out Chris Jericho.
So good.
I was worried at first. I was worried that it was going to be just there's four people in the booth. And that's just so many people talking at once. But Jericho's so good.
He is.
And he kind of dominates it a whole bunch. So it didn't seem like it was... I was never upset.
No. Oh, I forgot to mention, Happy Canada Day, by the way. He said that constantly throughout the whole thing. And he wore that beautiful like Canadian jacket with the maple leaves on it. I loved it. Yeah.
The funny thing, like, he'd always say Happy Canada Day when he was, like, stumbled on something. It was just like, well, shut up, Shivani. And then he'd be like, Happy Canada Day.
He was so, like, pumped up the entire show.
And, he
like,
was.
I miss that. I wish, like, every announcer was that way. I mean, they kind of are in a way, like, Mauro Ranallo and everything. But he's just so fun. It just felt like kind of an old school vibe to me. I don't know why. Does that make sense?
Because he's being a cartoon commentator. Mm-hmm. He's being a heel commentator, which we really don't get much of anymore. The last one I could think of is JBL.
Yeah.
And he was a pretty good commentator in that role for how long he was doing it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think right now. I can't think of anyone else right now that fits the style that he was doing, you know.
And Corey Graves is just a poor man's Jesse the Body.
Of course. Yeah, he's trying too hard.
Can we start a feud with him? Can we just like fuck with Corey Graves?
I guess.
And see if he gets some traction.
He would come after us. I don't know. Right? If you think you can handle him, I think.
I'm not going to try and fight him. Oh. I think I could take him. He's got concussion syndrome.
You're going to deal with that?
I'm not saying I'm actively trying to take him, but I am saying push comes to shove. I just had to hit him in his head.
That's you can say about anybody, really. That's
but he's got
most people's strategies.
I shouldn't be talking about his handicap.
That's true. I it feels kind of bad. Let's move on.
No, but we're keeping this in. We're not editing this out.
I'm not. Of course. Yeah.
No, I want us to both know that Corey Graves isn't an enemy of the podcast, but he could be.
That's already your catchphrase.
MJ. What's that?
We already got a catchphrase. We got two catchphrases.
What was our catchphrase?
Fuck Corey Graves, and we got, we're keeping this in, right? We're keeping it in. We're doing it. We're
keeping it. Yeah, I like that. We're keeping this in. First match of the night, MJF and Wardlow versus Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy Jack Perry. I thought it was a good match. What are your thoughts on it? How are you feeling?
I guess just from the top, I loved the pink bathrobe that MJF came out in. I feel like, sure. I just thought it was, I like that he had his scarf like embroidered into the pink bathrobe. I just thought that was just extra dickish. Jericho said, it was great promo, hideous outfit, which I agree. But otherwise, yeah, I thought the match was pretty good. I thought it was just like a solid, like, intro match. I don't know, just to get everyone pumped up for the rest of the show. Yeah. I don't know. It got me going. It got me like ready for the rest of the show, you know?
Yeah, and it was a good opener. MJF, I love MJF so dang much. Mm-hmm. I think he's just a heel treasure, and he really gets like old-timey heat. The match was good. I feel like Marco's stunt is such a distraction.
You think
he's
so?
He's a distraction, because I like him, but it's just like he's just such a anomaly in wrestling. He's like if Spike Dudley and Blue Meanie had a 10-year-old son. And it was Marco's stunt. Like he's just so small, and he moves like Blue Meanie. He does stupid Blue Meanie things.
I didn't get why you thought Blue Meanie, but yeah, I guess he kind of has like a little.
He's just
like,
got like this little run thing going, and he's just like,
and it's pretty good.
He's mugging all the time. but I was fine with the match. It was fine. It was a good opener. The one thing that I want to talk about after this match, the puppy battle royale.
Oh, yeah. What was that all about?
They're going to have a puppy battle royale next week as like a little break between things.
I couldn't read it. I was too far away from the screen. I couldn't read what it said. I saw the puppies, but I didn't understand. I just saw battle royale and I couldn't read above. That's so exciting.
Is that great?
I mean,
I want to show people that don't like wrestling that. Now.
I like that. Oh, I was just saying, sorry. I was just saying, I love the ad. I thought it was just a great ad to watch. The puppies and the dramatic blue lighting and all that. It was good.
It felt very like, it felt like a Super Bowl-y type thing. And it feels like an area that WWE would never go into. Just something silly and stupid. But that's the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just happy with that. The next match we got on here is Hikaru Shida. Let me say that again. Okay. Can you say it?
Hikaru Shida?
Hikaru Shida.
Yeah, Hikaru Shida.
I said
yeah.
it right?
Yeah, you're doing it. Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah.
okay. Oh, wait. Actually, before that, we actually had Joey Janela and Lance Archer in like a little mini brawl that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, yeah.
It was small. Yeah, it lasts like a minute or two or something. But yeah, I loved it. I just wanted to hear your opinion on that, actually, because that was one of what I said, what I was referring to at the top, where like it was so small, but it got me excited for next match. Like now I want to see them wrestle, like just for that little introduction, you know?
Yeah, I'm not a huge Joey Janela guy. Not a huge, like, I guess I don't know, I've seen enough of him. I haven't seen enough of him where I enjoyed. I like Lance Archer. I think he's good. He's been pretty good. I love Jake. I'm curious. I just love seeing Jake there. Like, that's the selling point in the match for me, is to see what Jake does.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly.
Oh, no, sorry, go on, my bad.
No, it's okay. No, I was just, I just love Jake. And Jake is the most colorful character in that match. Mm-hmm. He's the only character in that match.
Are you kidding? Lance Archer looks insane. His haircut is insane. Gorgeous. Like, that, the red and the, like, I don't know, what I love about wrestlers, like, his look is that it reminds me of, like, 90s wrestlers and 80s wrestlers where you have to live the lifestyle. You can't, like, go to HEB looking like that. People are gonna know you're a pro wrestler, and I think that's so cool that he just like, this is me, this is, you know, like I have a lot of respect for him just from that alone.
And I think he's a very good wrestler. I don't know, he's kind of vanilla to me. He's just
Lance Archer, you got give him time.
With Jake as a team,
yeah,
they're great. I think they're great, but it's because of Jake that I care an iota.
What do you think of the whole thing? Oh, I don't know. Have you seen him in New Japan?
I've seen, but again, I think he's a great wrestler, and I've seen his matches from Japan. But like him outside of Japan, where it's not as character focused,
mm-hmm.
you know, here it kind of sticks out like a sore thumb if you're not as loud outside the ring. You know, he's very loud and animated in the ring. He's a good monster.
Oh,
but I just don't think he's a very good character.
I guess so. I don't know. I have a soft spot for him because because have you seen the whole thing? He does it now in AEW, but it's not as strong where he comes out just attacking everybody at ringside. It's hard to do an AEW, but in New Japan, he would attack the Young Lions because there's just like a ton of them scattered around the arena, and you just like kick them in the face and toss them around, like, you know, and it's like pretty terrifying as an entrance.
Sure. I think I've seen that in clips, but I'm not familiar enough with it.
Did I ever tell you about what his entrance was at Wrestle Circus?
What was it?
oh man, I forgot exactly because it was a year ago. His promo for, but when his entrance, he came out just screaming, and he had water bottle, and he drank it, and he proceeded to spit on everyone in the audience, which is gross, but it's a heel. It's so funny. Sure. Where he would do the Triple H spit thing, where he's like, and he would just take the water and just like throw it in the air, and just like, and he made sure to go around the entire arena and hit everybody. And then he went in and threw a promo about how he hated everyone in the ring and everything. But
oh my God, Moet, when COVID ends, that's going to be the biggest heel move in the world.
Oh.
Spitting on the audience.
Yeah.
It's going to be the biggest heel thing you could do once COVID ends. We don't want to start now because he's pretty handcuffed right now. He probably wants to do that.
Yeah.
And by the way, Wrestle Circus is a promotion in Austin that's probably defunct now.
It's right? Done. Yeah, it's done. Yeah,
it's done. But Wrestle Circus, yeah, it's an Austin-based wrestling promotion. Just in case anyone ever watches this.
True. Sorry, I should have mentioned that, but that's good. Yeah,
no, we're
got my back.
No, that's
back.
We're killing it. We're great producers.
Yeah.
Now Hikaru Shida versus Penelope Ford. I think this was my match of the night.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was short. It was fast paced. I thought it was very well done. I liked the pacing of the match. I think it was great. I thought it was a bunch of fun. And I loved Hikaru's attire.
Yeah.
I love Hikaru's attire. Her entrance attire, her wrestling attire, everything about it. Big fan of. What are your thoughts on it?
Why do you like her attire? What do you like about it?
So, I don't know. It's traditional Japanese without being cartoonish.
Mm-hmm.
It feels just very genuine. And it feels like... I don't know. I feel like when WWE gets a hold of a Japanese wrestler, they kind of just make it the stereotype attire, I feel like. And with her, it just feels very like, I don't know, it's something. It's a modern. She looks like an anime character. Mm. She looks like a really cool anime character.
Is it?
And especially versus Penelope Ford, because they just look like two Street Fighter characters fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like with her like gray silver hair and her pink and black attire. I thought it was great.
Is it safe to say that we're sort of conditioned by WWE to see stereotypical foreign looks from wrestlers?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. So
I think historically it's better now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You mean in WWE as well? Or,
yeah, in
what you're referring
as well.
To? Yeah, yeah.
But from years of being programmed that way, it's refreshing to see. I forget the name of the jacket that they wear. Is that a kimono?
Kimono? Oh, kimono. Yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just very excited to see something that looks a little bit more modern rather than this very dated perception of what a Japanese wrestler looks and acts like. And I loved her. I just thought she had cool ass attire. She had these weird little fucking straps down the side and it was so good.
Oh no, they were very cool. Yeah, no,
it's real slick.
I love how excited you're getting for straps. That's yeah, it's charming.
It's dope. What do you think of the match?
I thought it was okay. I don't know. I'm not a big fan of Penelope Ford yet. I don't know. There's aspects I really enjoy about her wrestling. I like the gymnastics. Like, I think she, like, her flexibility is really exciting. Like, I think she can do things that, like, a lot of people just aren't able to, like, perform. But I think she's a little slow in the ring to where it feels unbelievable at times.
Interesting.
Like, it takes me out of the match at times. Like, the way she hits,
Slaps, I'll give you that. Her slaps are some of the worst slaps in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one critique I had about the match is she is so afraid to slap people. Like, there was this part where they were slapping back and forth, and she was doing this weird slow chop to her face.
Yeah.
It was very strange.
Things like that. I think it's tough because, like, Shida, like, on the other hand, she is so good at striking. Like every strike, she did a series of knee strikes. Yeah, yeah, because that was the finish. Multiple knee strikes and running knee strikes, and they looked awesome every single mm-hmm. time. Super believable. And I think just putting that against Penelope Ford, it just stuck out to me. But I'm not like dismissing her completely. I think it may be just more time, maybe like more time with wrestlers like Shida and everything, and she'll be on a good level. But something about this match, it was hard for me to get into her.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. I liked it because it was just, it felt very fast paced besides those striking things, which I agree with Jan, with Penelope's issue. But I don't know. I liked the match. I thought it was pretty fun.
Do you have a,
let's move on. Oh, technique by,
what's that? Oh, real quick. Do you have an opinion on the belt?
Yes.
The women's belt. Do you want to talk about it or do you want to save it?
Well, let's talk about it. Okay. And this is coming from me, a white male, so take it with a grain of salt. I find the belt to be condescending. It's so small and it's so dainty. Mm-hmm. It feels like, but who knows? I don't know if who designed it. Maybe a woman designed it. Maybe it was thought out and people enjoy it. I personally find it to be patronizing. Like this, oh, here's your small little belt. That's real pretty.
I don't understand why they made it that small. I don't get, who was the first champion? I forgot her name off the top of my head. Oh no. But she,
Riho?
Yeah, Riho. Yeah. She's a small person. She's, maybe it was built for her size is my assumption.
No, they couldn't have built it for one person.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't know.
She's not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Or John Cena, they made the damn spinny belt for him.
That belt, I find it, I don't like it. Hey, let's hear from some of our listeners. If there's any female listeners that we have there's a word that I'm forgetting.
I got you. No, pull, I keep going.
But any there's a good word for it, but anyone, what are your thoughts? Do you like it? Is it a thing that we want to keep having? I don't know.
Because what's interesting is I feel like it's a Goldilocks situation so far where the women's belt is too small, but the men's belt is comically large. And the TNT belt is ugly as hell.
Let's get to the TNT belt in a bit. We're going to get to the TNT belt in a bit. Let's not jump the shark here.
I'm waiting for them to get it right. I'm waiting.
Technique by Taz. I just love it.
Yes! Good. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm such a big fan. I love it. Yeah.
What a great use of Taz and a great way to keep Brian Cage's momentum by giving, rather than just doing a promo, he's like, oh, I'm going to beat someone. He's just like, you can't do your special move on it.
His muscles are too big.
And
how are you going to grab him?
And there's this one part where Taz he's like a poet. He's just like this bewildering body mass of a fucking believability. And he's saying all these B words in a row. it was very good. He's a poet.
Yeah, that's Taz good. Is a poet. Yeah, I love that stuff because we don't have that many segments or announcers don't do that very often nowadays where they try to explain the realism. They try to do what Regal does all the time, you know. Regal.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, where they try to provide a realism around wrestling, you know,
like Mike Tenay.
What did he do?
Well, Mike Tenay in WCW was an analyst. There was the color, the play by play. So play by play is doing the thing. Color is just filling in, and he'd be like, the reason why this move is so devastating is because it's pulling the lateralis muscle, and he's going over that stuff, and he's just did analyst stuff. Like, he's a good third booth person, but I think that's what I like about it as well, is that it just showed some realism, gives some credibility.
Yeah, and what he's saying is legitimate. Maybe not this particular example where the muscles maybe are too big and he can't get hooked correctly.
Sure.
But a lot of the jiu-jitsu stuff when he did a segment on Jake Hager and the arm triangle, is all legit techniques, the cable grips that he mentions and stuff. So that's I think a casual fan, especially an MMA fan that shows up and watches that, they can kind of understand why it's exciting. You know, it brings them into it. So, yeah.
100%. But the issue is with AEW, they're talking about he can't put the finisher on. Finishers don't matter in AEW.
What do you mean? you're just saying.
Everyone kicks out of everything. It's basically every finisher is a drop kick.
That was one thing I forgot to mention at the top with the MJF Jurassic Express. There was one where MJF no-sold like a power bomb or something from Luchasaurus. Super frustrating. But But then they did the kip up, the dual lane kip ups. I thought that was cool. I was into it. you're not a fan. I thought it was fun. It was like,
it was an exciting for to have it in the first part of the night.
That's what
it was.
I mean,
exciting, and it was good. It was upbeat. I'm not going to be too hard on it, but by God, I was almost expecting that exact chain to happen again later in the night. But either way, let's move on from Technique by Taz. We got Jack Hager versus Cody Rhodes.
Jake Hager.
What?
Jake Hager.
What'd I say?
Jack.
What'd
I say? He said Jack.
I think he should be called Jack Hager.
Yeah, let's call him Jack.
I'm watching too much Lost right now. I thought it was a great match.
I like Jericho. I was writing quotes from Jericho throughout the show that I liked a lot. That just made me laugh. And when Hager comes out, he's like, Hager is basically undefeated. Because like, I'm not, and then like someone's like, well, he lost, Moxie lost. Like, I don't count that. He just starts screaming at him, like, that,
Happy Canada Day.
Yeah. just basically undefeated is a really funny way to explain
That's great. I love the match. I thought it was really great. I love Arn in this role.
Really?
I like Arn in this way. Like him being a manager, him kind of being a little physical where he gets knocked down, where he's kind of a heel. They're all heels. You talked to me about the slow build of Cody being a heel.
Yeah.
And I saw it in this match, and I really like it.
Good, good. Yeah, I hope that's true. I hope that's actually happening, and it's not just in our heads.
I can't imagine it not. I can't imagine it not, because he's cheating to win every month.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Rhodes showing up, that was pretty weird. I don't think that was necessary at all from like a, well, I mean, the only reason why it would be necessary is to build the slow burn heel turn.
And I think that, I think you're right on the point with that, because that's what I saw. That weight belt that he wears.
Oh, yeah?
How do you feel about it?
It's like old school, like Hulk Hogan. It reminds me of Hulk Hogan from WCW era. And then I guess afterwards too. I don't know. It's one of those things in wrestling. It's just like a trope now. He wears it. I don't know. I don't have much of an opinion. I just like choose to ignore it.
I'm not attacking you, Moen.
I don't like it. What do you want me to say? No, I don't know. What do you think?
I was hoping, because it moves around so damn much. He's not a bulky guy where he'll sit, where it stays, you know? Like, to Hogan, it didn't move because he didn't move, you know? Like, it just stayed there. But I constantly see him pushing it down or moving it off, and, like, it's riding too high, so he scooches it back down, and I find it very distracting. And especially when he comes out with the belt, his actual belt, the TNT belt, which we'll talk about in a sec, and Arn's holding the weight belt. Like an idiot, like a fucking idiot, and then he exchanges belts before he starts.
I love that. I've become so desensitized to the bullshit aspects of wrestling that it didn't even like faze me. Like, I remember Arn wearing the belt on his shoulder. I just thought, like, oh, that's weird, that's interesting, but that's so funny. I gotta go back and watch him put on two belts. That's really
Because like Arn should be holding the championship belt.
Yeah,
and like, I could see that.
Yeah. And put on the weight belt.
And yeah, I don't know. Let's talk about the TNT championship real quick. Are they finished making it?
No, they're not. It's cool. It looks like what I would have drawn, like a 4D version of, or not 4D. What am I saying? I'm thinking about 3D printers. My bad. Like a 3D version of something I would have made like in school with like red and black Sharpie.
Right?
Like just, yeah.
It looks depressing. It looks really depressing, especially those close-up shots where they're like, this is for the TNT. And you look at it and you're like, man, that looks like a Power Ranger belt.
They've mentioned a couple times that it's unfinished and that they're, I think because of the pandemic, they're not able to finish whatever whatever else they're trying to do with it. Yeah, right? I don't get it. I think, I just think they shouldn't have. Why do you think they put it out there? Like, just to move storylines forward or?
I guess they wanted to get going on that secondary title. And when did Cody win it? In March or April?
Oh, I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't know.
Because they probably had plans that it was going to be finished, but COVID got in the way. Mm-hmm. And so like it probably wasn't because of that. But I don't know. Pissed me off.
Yeah.
And while I think all of their belts kind of suck.
I like the heavyweight. I like the men's, like the heavyweight belt. I think it's gigantic and absurd looking. It's
too big.
But that's what I like about it. I think it's like obnoxious, and I like obnoxious sometimes.
The best belt, I think, is the tag team. simple, clean, circular belts. Say world tag team champs.
That's all you need. I mean, you could just say that about the TNT belt. Just says TNT. That's all you need. TNT belt. That's it.
But that's what I'm saying is that every other belt, it looks either stupid or unfinished. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that just says the bare essentials, and it's good.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's good.
Yeah.
It's a good belt.
I feel like out of all the belts, I think the heavyweight belt is the one that feels important. It feels like there's like that there could be like a history behind it. I guess someday, because AEW's only been around for a year, but you know, I don't know.
I'll allow it. Let's get on to this Darby Allin skate video. Is there anything more depressing than that video?
Oh, I'm a fan.
We're gonna have to stop this podcast.
No, I'm jealous. That's why I'm a fan, because I'm jealous as a filmmaker. Watch out the phone. I saw that turn. Be careful. Yeah. Ooh.
Stop that. I'll never do that again.
No, it's okay. I'm just. It would be funny if the whole thing just like crashed down.
Fair. I thought it was the mic.
Oh no. Anyways, so Darby Allin, he's, what is he, 22 or something like that? I read in an interview with him that he wants to be a filmmaker after wrestling. Like, he just kind of has this, like, crazy style, because that's just, you know, his lifestyle in general, and he doesn't plan to do it for a long time, and he wants to be a filmmaker. And so he's getting to make movies through AEW. Like, he directs these films, as far as I know. And he gets to learn the process of filmmaking through AEW's budget, which I think is super cool. And it feels like something I would have made as a filmmaker when I was 22, if I also knew how to skateboard and do backflips and light myself on fire. That's pretty cool to me.
Well, I don't want you to answer my question, because I wrote, is this supposed to make him look cool?
Pretty cool. Do you know how many...
I watched that, and I thought he looked so lame.
Oh, he's so...
I thought that was the lamest video, where him and his buddies in the backyard are doing flips, and they're lighting themselves on fire. I found that to be disgusting. There's this guy that I follow on TikTok. And he's just this guy, this chubby little guy that puts out boards with broken glass on it. He's just like, this is for all my juggalos and juggalettes. Fuck this shit. He rips off his shirt and he does a flip. And I'm just like, this is Darby Allin's video.
Yeah, the fuck this shit guy. That guy is awesome. He rules. Yeah, he's been around for a while. I forgot his name. Yeah, Joey Janela is like good friends with him.
So this goes back to that.
Yeah.
They're the same level of cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, so, look, it's not a cool video, and he doesn't look cool in it, but I think it is cool that he gets to do it.
Oh, that, sure. Yeah. I think it's cool that AEW does a lot of the things they do, but should I be seeing that? Is that something that's going to make me, like, I want to buy a Darby Allin's on fire t-shirt? Like,
look, the backflip onto the skateboard when it was stalled on the hat, that was pretty cool. Come on. And then they did a cool slow motion of it. Like, for the second time, it was good.
That was 5 seconds of a 45-second video.
What percentage is that? That's not... I mean, it's...
That's one-ninth.
That's all right. I guess I could do better. You're right. Fine. But moving on.
The backflip was cool. All right.
That's all. All right. I'll take that.
All right. Santino Ortiz versus Private Party. That was a good match. I like the match, actually.
There was a minute, there was a bit at the top that I thought was really funny, where I think it was Ortiz, I'm not sure, I can't remember, but Ortiz goes, during their entrance, he goes over to give Jericho a fist bump, and then Tony Schiavone leads forward for the fist bump, and then Ortiz just walks away, and then he hams it up, he just mucks it up, like he sits down, and he like pouts, and he just like throws his hands up in the air, and it's just like, blah, blah. Like, why... Why? Why did he expect a fist bump?
I love that so much. Yeah. Tony Schiavone, I think, honestly, I love Tony Schiavone on commentary, but he is so perfect for a Mean Gene type character where he just does these interviews, just does these little interactions with characters. They don't have to have so many people on the booth. And honestly, take JR's buddy away from him. I'm tired of JR having these inside fucking jokes with Tony, and where it's like Excalibur's just trying to do his goddamn job, and he doesn't want to be ridiculed by these old men.
Yeah, it's absurd. I don't know. I'm still giving it time. I'm going to give it time.
How much time, Moet?
It's almost, they're not a year old. They're not, I mean, if you count the pay-per-views, but AEW Dynamite is not even a year old. So just like, give it, let's see where they go. That, I think they started in October, I want to say. So like, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. I don't think they need Tony or JR in the booth. But I'm not sure who they would place it with.
I'm fine with JR being there. I don't mind that because I get the reason he's there. And I think when Tony's not around, he gets less distracted and less old manish. You can't have too many old men in that goddamn booth.
I did have... I did have like a weird vibe at one moment where I just like, because I'm reading the Death of WCW book right now and just realizing like there's so many like, you know, players from that era now. And it's like how weird that is. Like Arn Anderson, Tony Schiavone, JR, and like all these people, like, and how are they still doing this and around? That must be so surreal for them. Like sure. Living the same fantasy job their entire lives. Like I just, yeah. I don't know. Just wanted to throw that out. Yeah. Yeah. That's all.
Good for them. I'm pleased to sponge with them. But back to Ortiz versus Ortiz and Santana versus Private Party. I like the match.
Yeah, super fun. Oh yeah, I want to say I saw. I wasn't super into Cody and Hager, because it's not my style of wrestling. Like I think I just have a hard time watching that kind of slow paced.
Really?
Well, I don't know. Every now, it's just on and off. So that one didn't do it for me, but it's not that I hated it. It just, you know, it just wasn't my bag. But I came to appreciate it a lot more while watching this match because they're so different than what Hager and Cody did. Right. Mm-hmm. And it just, it felt really good to have both version or, you know, both styles like back to back. Yeah. So,
and I thought so far the way they arranged the matches was really good because I didn't feel like because AEW has a problem with sometimes the matches look a lot alike.
Yeah.
Because, I like the fact that they kind of spaced out the tag matches. They put in that slower paced one right in the middle of the show. This one was a very good one. I liked it a lot. A few things I have notes on. First thing, Isaiah Cassidy. I like the guy. I think he's great. But when Orange Cassidy comes in, there's too many Cassidys. And Isaiah Cassidy was there first. I don't know why they allowed this to happen. They should call him like Kid Orange or something like that. Change this guy because I'm so pissed at the lack of forethought with. They want to give wrestlers all the freedom in the world, but you can't have two people with Cassidy. Cassidy's not that popular of a name.
No, it's not.
for them to be saying like, oh, Cassidy goes for this, Cassidy goes for that, and they're gonna be saying it with an Orange Cassidy match.
That's true. Yeah, I never thought about that.
I'm furious with it. I'm furious.
You should be. No, I mean I'm probably gonna be furious about it now too when I see it next time.
If there's an Isaiah Cassidy match before or after an Orange Cassidy match. They're just taunting us. trying to get a rise out of me.
Big Cassidy is going to show up next.
They call him Big Cassidy. Oh, Lord. And also one other thing for this match. What are we doing with Matt Hardy?
Yeah, I wrote that. I wrote, why is Matt their friend? Which felt so sad to write. I guess he's allowed to be friends with anyone. You can be friends with anyone, you know, but yeah.
I like the bit of the Lake of Reincarnation for specific things, but the fact that Matt changes from character to character is bothersome to me because only one of them is fun.
Which one? The old one?
The broken Matt
Hardy. The broken one? Yeah, that's the old one is what I mean.
Like Team Extreme Matt Hardy has never been fun without his brother. Surge, or whatever he calls his old one from Omega, I don't get it.
Yeah.
And the Mattitude one, worked in such a small time capsule, you can't bring that back. The broken one still makes sense and it's still relevant. Why isn't he just being a mentor as broken Matt Hardy?
Well, I think the reason why I see it, I don't know for sure, is that, well, they mentioned that Private Party was like heavily influenced by the Hardy Boys growing up and their style is influenced. So I think that's why you're giving me a look. What's with the look? I think that's very valid. I think if as inspiration, that's why he comes out in that style. Because, yeah, I don't know, if that's their mentor right now. I think that makes sense. I don't know.
I hate it, Moet.
I Okay, I'm sorry.
I hate it. Thank you. That's what I was looking for, an apology. Tony Khan's not going to give me one.
On behalf of everybody, Tony Khan included.
Thank you, Bowen. I really do actually appreciate it. the next bit on here is the pull apart with Orange Cassidy and Chris Jericho. Now, when Orange Cassidy came to the booth, I got a little nervous because I don't want to hear him talk.
Yeah.
But he came by and just put up his feet. And he was acting real cool. And then the pull apart happens. And I thought it was so funny that six people were holding back Chris Jericho. And one guy was pulling Orange Cassidy's tag on his jacket.
Yeah. And then just Jericho throughout the whole match is like, I'm a professional. I can do my job. I have a job to do. I can do it. Why is he here? What? Just screaming the whole time. I loved it. Yeah, I think it was very silly. Kind of not needed, not really necessary, other than it's very entertaining and funny, which,
and it worked. It got me, I'm still excited about next week, but like, I don't know, it was nice to see both characters on there. And Chris Jericho is the best, like, because I think I talked to you in private about this, but like, AEW lets the wrestlers run the asylum, which is great in some aspects and troublesome in others when it comes to promos or it comes to matches. Chris Jericho is the only person I would give 100% free reign with always, because he just gets it so much and he has so much fun. It's infectious. It's contagious. Like you can't help but have just as much fun with him. He is such a treasure. He's the best get that AEW has. Best thing.
He's doing so much for them. Yeah, I feel like we could do an entire episode about him. There was a time where I didn't really consider him in like the GOAT list, but like the best ever list. I didn't consider that. But over the last 5 years, basically since he left WWE, did his New Japan run, and is now, especially in AEW, I think he's the best ever. I think maybe not necessarily in ring, but overall, he is the best ever.
No, for what you said. He because like American style wrestling does not just mean what happens in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is, if you're like he's probably the best American style wrestler there's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best American, right?
He can do it all. And he's brought AEW so much legitimacy. He's brought it, the whole like company, on his shoulders. And he's doing it like selflessly. It's incredible.
Well, he's making some coin.
There's always that, yeah. But he doesn't have to be doing it. Like, you know, he could be doing anything in the world, but he's, like, choosing to be in AEW because he believes in them.
Makes the most money there. He's not making that on Fozzie Tour. He's not making that type of money for that schedule?
No.
For that schedule?
Yeah.
He's great, but he's not a saint. I would refuse to say it.
I've
seen his Twitter. Then we got the Taz promo, and I thought it was interesting that he brought up COVID in that promo.
There's one thing, can I just stop for a second? There's one thing JR says, now why am I saying this? This isn't necessary.
No, it's too late. We're already on the smoke. You have to go with it.
I feel like it reveals a lot about me. Brian Cage walks out and JR says, if I was Brian Cage, I would never wear a shirt. And I felt that was necessary to write down. And that just embarrasses me a lot. Why did I write that? I just think that's so funny, that the fantasy JR has when he sees Brian Cage and just the jealousy he gets over his abs and muscles, you know?
And the funny thing, just about Cantankerous JR, in the first match, there was so much talking from Tony, Excalibur, Chris Jericho. There's a point where JR's just like, I can't even call anything in this match. I can't even call. He said that almost he's saying there's so much action in the ring that he can't call it. But in reality, he was just upset that he couldn't get a word in.
Yeah.
And it was very funny. Just a cranky old JR.
But
the Taz promo.
Beautiful.
Taz promo where I think Taz is a great manager. I'm so glad they're using him in this capacity. He could do, again, someone that could do so much for them with announcing or those little Taz behind the moves type deal, and mm-hmm. him holding on to Brian Cage. My one thing is, Brian, can you look a little bit more interested when he's talking?
Yeah. I think, I don't know if this is true, but I sense some, like, insecurity maybe with him when he's in there. Like, there's something where that doesn't feel right. Like, because Ittering, he's a monster. I'm so impressed. Great. And I can't wait to see what he does with Moxley next week. But there's, yeah, something, he I feel like he's still trying to figure out what he is supposed to do behind him. All he has to do is go, that's all I need from him. But
yeah, he was trying to look cool.
Yeah.
He was trying to look cool. And one of the things is, and I think would be a good, I'm going to give him some coaching tips. What he should do is just look at the camera as if it's Jon Moxley. Mm-hmm. Pretend that's Jon Moxley. So when Taz is talking to the camera, you see this man looking at you like you're about, he's about to beat you up. And that's all he has to do. Is look like he's threatening the cameraman.
Yeah.
And I feel like that would just be a good, useful thing for him, but I don't know.
Yeah. But he did. Oh, yeah, wait, what were you saying?
No, I just some other things in Taz's promo. He referred to, like, he basically referred to WWE's handling of COVID as a sloppy shop.
Wait, did he do that? What did he say?
Yeah. He's just like, he was saying, you got tested once, you got tested twice, and next week you'd be tested a third time, and we don't run no sloppy shop in AEW.
Oh, like, nice. I missed that. Because
WWE's having some issues.
Yeah, that's good.
I just thought it was real cutting.
That's good. Yeah, I was just going to say earlier about the cameraman bit, if I can geek out about the way they film Taz's promos, I think is so good. They film in this wide angle lens. They usually film in a wide angle lens, but what makes it different is Taz shows up like, you know, like he's like maybe 2 feet away from the camera. And so he takes up like that much of the frame. He looks gigantic, even though he's like, I mean, he's a big dude, but he's small too. Right. And then the rest of the frame is taken up by Brian Cage. And I think and he's speaking directly into the camera. I think all those like thing aspects combined, like, make his promos so scary to me. Like they're so compelling and scary because I believe it. I believe that both those guys are fucking terrifying and could beat the shit out of you if they wanted to. And yeah. I'm just so impressed with that style. Nobody else 100%. Is doing it.
I thought it was beautiful. You're right. He did take up half the camera. And the only thing missing was if Brian Cage didn't look like he was waiting online at the bathroom.
I tried not to. Yeah, you're right.
That was the only thing that took it away from me. He was just pacing back and forth, hands on his hips, just waiting.
Yeah.
He's great, though. But come on. Yeah. What else we got here? And we got the last match of the night. We got Best Friends versus Hangman Page and Kenny Omega. I thought again, I stick with my saying before that the women's title match was my favorite, but this was my second favorite. I thought it was a lot of fun. I love Trent's mom. Love that she drove them to the ring. Has that happened before? Have I missed that?
Not his mom. His mom hasn't driven him, but they've been doing that gimmick so often over the last couple of months. Like FTR, that's their thing now, is they drive to the ring. And it's always that same spot in Daly's Place where they drive maybe like 10 feet and then stop and then get out looking like a badass. Like, it's obnoxious. I don't like it anytime anyone has done it so far, except this time. I love this.
But this is the first time with Trent's mom, with them doing it, right?
Yeah, so I think they were making fun of that stuff, yeah. But
And Justin Roberts also called it out. He's just like, being driven to the ring by Trent's mom.
And just like how he's like, Trent, let me kiss you on the cheek or whatever. And he still like has this like kind of like, he's like pouting. He still, he gets, leads it and gets a kiss. Yeah. It's so simple, but like I was so invested by that. Like, I know it was a joke. It's really funny, but like halfway through it, I was just like, Trent's gotta win this. His mom is like the healer. Like, he can't upset her. Like, he can't upset Sue.
And that's what's great about one of the thing is with comedy gimmicks, they just need to be fed all the time. You know, if you're a badass gimmick, you beat up a couple jobbers and got enough cred where you could go out and have these things and you don't have to reaffirm it. With comedy things, to keep the people interested, you constantly have to give them a little bit more every time. Mm-hmm. That's why New Day is kind of been stale the past couple of years, is because they stopped at pancakes, you know?
Yeah. They're still every now and then I see like a gif or something of like Big E doing something silly that gets me. But I see what you mean. Overall,
you know what I mean? They constantly have to be fed. But what happens is with comedy gimmicks, you get so emotionally invested in them. And I love Best Friends. After this, like that happened, because I like Best Friends. I like their gimmick. I like the hug thing. but this added such a great layer of depth that they're being driven by Trent's mom.
Yeah.
Trent's mom drives them to shows. And I love the idea that that's always been.
Yeah, yeah.
In my head. It's always been that way. And now it's a big event. So she's driving them right up to the ring.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. Who's to say that she's not there at every show? Like, we don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I would love there to be a spot in the crowd where we see her every now and then.
That would be good.
Or something like that. Like, and she's never ringing up, walking them to ringside, but she's always in the crowd being a proud mom. And I think that would be a great way of keeping that thing going. I think Trent's mom should be a part of the show.
Yeah, I'm just glad that they're getting more airtime. They're getting promo time, which I think they need. They need to show off their personality. Because, like, I don't know if they've seen that in AEW yet. Like, you have to go scouring the internet, YouTube,
sure,
for those promos. But they're so good together. They're so funny.
And the package with Orange Cassidy, their whole deal, like that's like a great stable. And another, like if they push forward and keep it going and continue Orange Cassidy's rise, I just want a crowd for those guys so bad.
Yeah,
they do so well with the crowd. Their hug, their Orange Cassidy with his hands in his pockets, like they do so much better in a crowd. Those bits,
yeah,
it's so hard to do a comedy bit without a crowd.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's one thing about the match with the commentary. Omega and so I didn't know Kenny Omega and Chuck Taylor were in a tag team in PWG. Apparently,
yeah.
Tag team in 2009. They were called the Men of Low Moral Fiber. I wrote in big caps, "This is why Excalibur is there." Like, I was so proud of him. I don't know that stuff. I need him to point that stuff out.
100%. I feel like, and also with the main event, just you brought up commentary. Boy, did when Chris Jericho left, did it lose steam?
Yeah,
it lost some steam. And thank God Excalibur was there to be young.
Yeah,
because they would have. It was like there's a noticeable night and day difference from the energy that Chris Jericho brought, and then Excalibur trying to pick up the pieces afterwards with like Tweedledee and Tweedledum just snoozing.
Oh yeah, you got a vendetta against them.
I love them both. Well, I love Tony Schiavone. I love Tony Schiavone. Yeah. And JR can be good, can be great. But like them together, I just think Statler and Waldorf.
Yeah, too old. Yeah. Too cranky.
At the same,
too old.
Yeah, yeah, you got to have a mix. There has to be diversified. Come on now.
Would you be friends with Statler or Waldorf on their own?
Oh, of course.
You'd like them both as buddies.
I would not want them to broadcast my television show.
No, as a duo, you don't want to see them together because they'll rip you apart as friends. I'm in a scenario right now where you are maybe on the same job with Statler Waldorf, or you like maybe at a coffee shop or something. You become friends with these two.
Sure. You're right. One of what they'd feed each other, and I probably wouldn't want to hang around both of them at the same time. I'd probably schedule hangouts with them individually.
Yeah, just like JR and Tony. Because you love Tony. Yeah.
You're 100% right. They should take turns. They should tag in and out.
That would be good, yeah. I don't know what either of them are like on their own. I can't say.
I listen to a lot of their podcasts. I do.
Statler and Waldorf?
Yeah, they've got great podcasts. Okay. They're both with Conrad Thompson. He does Statler and Waldorf, too. It's like cooking with Statler and grilling Waldorf.
Right? He's got everybody. That's not fair.
Yeah, he's a piece of work too. Yeah.
I was really disappointed by the ending. I was really bummed out. They got me as a fan.
The beer thing?
Oh no, not that far. But just that Best Friends lost. I was bummed.
Sure.
I was really thinking. I really thought that Kenny and Hangman had finished. I thought we had told their entire story. We didn't need to see any more. Essentially, you know. And it was time for Best Friends. I think they were rising up. You know, but it is what it is.
Yeah,
see where it goes from here. I trust them.
You're right. I feel, but again, I feel like I would rather not waste it now. And I'd rather hold off until we get a crowd again for them.
True. Yeah, it'll be a big moment.
I think they deserve it. And honestly, that will make the moment. The reason that they were so on fire is because the crowd got so into them. And I don't know. I'd rather wait for it. In all honesty, I think we should put all wrestling on a pause until COVID starts up again. But hey, we're here.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I guess because you got to find a balance of like, what do you want? How do you continue wrestling without giving away too many of the big moments, or do you just keep going full steam ahead, essentially? I know they were going to do their version of War Games, which I forgot the AEW name for it due to copyright. It was like Blood House.
Blood.
It was something stupid.
Bloodscapades.
Yeah, it was something. It might not even have blood in it, but it was something
guts,
dumb.
Guts and Ladders.
Yeah. Actually, I think you're close. I think it's like...
No, I'm not.
Blood and Guts. It was a Blood and Guts match.
Okay. I was going with Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, I know. But I can't believe we got that together. That's so
funny. I'm very upset.
I'm 90% sure it was called a Blood and Guts match, but it was just the War Games setup.
Sure.
But they axed that because they just wanted to do that in front of a crowd, which makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And it makes me wonder if what they should do, if they should keep that, like, holding these moments back. Because when we don't know when the next time, you know, we'll have crowds again for anything.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, Mullet, we finished the night, Fighter Fest. Let's do the woos and whats.
Woos and whats. Okay.
What is your woo of the night, and what is your what of the night?
Oh, gosh.
Let's go with woo. What's your woo? What's your best top thing of the night?
Top thing off the top of my head was a Taz promo. That was so good. Nothing new came out of it other than it's just so consistent week by week. It's one of my favorite segments of the night. Oh, that and maybe Jericho. But if we're talking about matches, probably the Private Party match.
You have to pick one. Private Party, Jericho, or
you're kidding.
A Taz promo.
We got plural.
One woo and one what.
It's woos and whats. There's multiple.
Yeah, because I got two.
Okay, fine. Jericho. Jericho is the MVP of the night.
That's fair.
Yeah.
My woo of the night is Trent's mom.
Oh, that's a good one.
Trent's
that
mom
good.
Easily. Like, it would be Jericho's a close second. But Trent's mom, I wasn't expecting that, and that really made my night. And what a way to start off a main event. What's your what of the night?
What? We didn't say this. We didn't talk about this. But my what of the night, let me tell you, though, my what of the night are the bikini babes. The bikini babes that just sit there and do nothing other than just for eye candy, I guess. I hate it. I hate that so much because it doesn't have any place in here. It's so 90s. It's a 90s concept. I think it's a fanboy like routine that Tony Khan is doing. Because he can. I think football does that. Soccer does that, you know. I don't think it has any place in today.
What, and I agree with you entirely if they changed it slightly. I would be totally and 100% okay. They had their bikini girls and they had some bikini guys. And that would be, like, honestly, that felt like it would be an AEW thing. I feel like that should be. Like, I think that's very funny. And it's also just like having a bunch of people in bikinis hanging out. I don't mind the idea of bikini people being a part of the thing. It's just that it's only women.
Yeah.
I would love to see JR's reaction to just a bikini guy, like, oiling up on the side. And JR's just like, he's trying not to be homophobic. He's trying so hard not to be.
Good God bless him. He tries so hard. He's trying. That's one thing I got.
He is trying.
Yeah. He's trying. He has his he has some problems. But he's trying.
And if you ever listen to his podcast, like, it's real sweet at times because it's just like, he's talking about wrestling. He's just like, things are changing wrestling. Just like they're changing the world. Black lives matter, people. Black lives matter.
But
and he's just like, whether you're saying it or not, all lives matter. Don't give me that shit. Black lives matter. And he's trying. He's really trying. But like him trying so hard not to say something misogynistic, especially when there's just oily men around, I would love
it. He's like, look at all those beautiful women and the beautiful men, too.
The men are beautiful, too. It's okay for men to be beautiful. It's New Day. Come on now.
Black Lives Matter.
But yeah, I thought it was a fun, and I'm excited for next week.
Oh, hey, you got a what?
Oh, I have a what?
What's your what?
Matt Hardy,
yeah. It's going to take a lot for you to get him into a woo.
No, I just want him to stay broken. Stay broken. Keep doing your broken thing. Be a manager broken. Do your broken thing because that's the reason you're here again.
Red, that's beautiful. That's like a beautiful statement.
What? Stay broken?
Stay broken? I like that.
I
know what you mean, but like out of context. It's great. Yeah.
I'm going to start writing some of these things down. We got to make some t-shirts for ProWrestlingTees.com as Stay Broken. I also have something that you said earlier that I wrote down.
Oh, no.
Extra dickish. They broke it. But yeah, we're gonna come with some t-shirts at prowrestlingtees.com. We're gonna have them coming out to you soon. And Moa, what's your Instagram handle?
At Moa Jaswal with a one.
At Moa Jaswal with a one instead of an L, or at Moa Jaswal one?
Moa Jaswal one. Yeah, I okay. A Russian bot stole Moa Jaswal, which was mine, so I had to do one. And they'll okay. The Instagram won't give it back to me. So Moa Jaswal one Instagram.
Moa Jaswal one at on Instagram. I am Red _ Jefferson. Red Jefferson was taken by a grandmother in Charlotte. She loves her grandkids and she does not like abortion.
That's not you. That's the grandma.
That's not me. That's not me. I don't have grandkids and I'm cool with abortion. Well, if you want one.
Good.
That's our stance. So yeah, thank you for joining us today. And oh yeah, Who's Release Podcast. We'll see you next week.